You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast from 1600 ESPN. It's the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on 1600 ESPN KGYM.
Ready to go on a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class. Glad to have you aboard here from our studios on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes, Isaac Elzinga, all with you here today. And we got a good show coming up for you on a Tuesday. We get ready for Hardwood Cyhawk Week starting tomorrow, as it'll be the women's game tomorrow night between Iowa and Iowa State. And we'll have that for you right here on 1600 ESPN. It should be a dandy. We will talk about that. It's a 7:30 pregame show. It's an 8 o'clock tip-off. Again, we'll have it for you coming up tomorrow right here on 1600 ESPN. So we'll talk about that. I get to a little bit of pro football and more here today. Before we talked with our friend KJ Pilcher of the Cedar Rapids Gazette for the first time, we talked some high school wrestling, and no better person to do that with than KJ Pilcher. So we'll do that coming up in the back half of the show. 319-366-1600. That is the text line available to you. 319-366-1600. That is the phone line if you'd like to pick up the phone and give us a call. It's also 319-366-1600. And one final opportunity for you to get entered into our year-end bonus contest from 1600 ESPN. We will give you that winning word today coming up in about 25 minutes or so. So keep it right here. And then tomorrow morning at 7:30 on the Todd Brommelkamp Show, he will have the grand prize drawing for the local winner for the $500. So that'll be coming up tomorrow morning at 7:30. Set your alarms for that. You'll be up. You'll be listening. Right, Isaac? How you doing?
I'm doing all right. Yes, I will be. I'm interested to see who wins, so I'll certainly be up.
You got to see this thing through, man.
Yes, most people, I haven't seen as many texts coming in. I tried to respond early on to everyone who would send a text in that go to the website, but a good job by our listeners. Eventually that all stopped.
They're very intelligent.
Yes, after we tell them a couple times.
You're probably watching Mbappe.
You know, eventually one of these days you're going to get it first try.
Ah, whatever. They took him out though, right? That's what it says on my...
Yeah, he's been... His Real Madrid stint has been interesting. Certainly, I think, disappointing to some Real Madrid fans.
They expected a lot, though.
Yeah, I mean, when you're supposed to be the next Ronaldo, when you're being discussed like the next Ronaldo, next Messi, kind of high expectations, I think.
He's supposed to be the next Michael Jordan / LeBron James.
You're supposed to be the next greatest thing ever, so.
Yeah. Or perhaps the $7 million guy that BYU signed to play basketball for a year. Mark Dukes from the back porch in the southwest side of Cedar Rapids joining us here. How you doing?
I'm doing good, guys. Good afternoon, everyone. And clear the mats, whatever that means.
Yeah. Oh, man, that always takes me back. Always takes me back to Ed Winger back in the days. And then our late great friend Bubba. Randall's, who did that for so many years. And yeah, new cast of characters down at Wells Fargo. But we will talk with KJ coming up here in just a little bit. 319-366-1600 here on a Tuesday edition of the program. And we get closer, as we mentioned, Mark. And it's not nearly as big of a deal, I guess, a big of a deal as football is, obviously. But the basketball edition of Iowa versus Iowa State will get started tomorrow night with the women's game. Thursday night will be the men's game. Interestingly enough, please, from folks on socials out there, to try to get more people into Carver-Hawkeye Arena. Allegedly, there are over 3,000 tickets still available for the Iowa-Iowa State game on Thursday night, the men's game. Women's game is sold out. There'll be 14,998 there, mainly wearing black and gold. Can't say that on Thursday. I said it yesterday. I have a very big sneaking suspicion there are going to be as many Iowa State people there tomorrow night as there will be Iowa people there tomorrow night. It could be Hilton East on Thursday night.
For Thursday, not tomorrow night. Carver Hawkeye, as you mentioned, is sold out for women's games, and you know, bigger than the football game. Probably not, but I would submit that both teams being nationally ranked on national television, full house, it's a pretty big deal.
Am I wrong saying that there are many, many, many more people interested in the women's game than the men's game, guys?
Nope.
Isaac, but I that's a true assumption, right?
The teams just feel closer talent-wise and in level. Like right now, I think everyone, even Iowa fans, will say they're expecting Iowa State to win handily on Thursday.
Oh, I think if Iowa comes within 15, I think that's a moral victory Thursday night.
So I think also just matchup wise, I think it's a little bit more interesting just because you have like Audie Crooks and you also then you have really good guard play from Iowa. So it'll be, I don't know, it just is closer in talent wise. There's a big discrepancy in the men's game right now.
I just don't think Iowa matches up at all with Iowa State on the men's side.
Especially athletically. I think that's a big thing right now for Iowa is just athletically. I don't even know how they would match up. I mean, maybe apparently Traore might play or is
and Koch.
So that will be a big boost as far as the athleticism goes on the court. But still, there's a big gap, I think.
I didn't think Iowa would match up against Michigan either. Look what happened there.
That's true.
Basketball is a funny game. Iowa State, number 3 in the country, terrific team. Got great guard play, getting excellent inside play. Iowa's going to have to play awfully well to be in this game, but I would agree. Iowa State's a pretty sizable favorite, and maybe, I don't know, maybe we're hitting it wrong. What a fan, are you looking more forward to the women's or men's game? 319-366-1600.
Well, the women's game's up first, and that's going to be a big-time affair with two rated teams going at it. Iowa State is still the higher-rated team among the two. Cyclones, what, number 17 this week? Iowa is 21. Hawkeyes fell to Tennessee on the weekend on Saturday. Iowa State beat Central Michigan. It's going to – and I – found it very interesting that Iowa State has not won in Iowa City since 2006.
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty long stretch when you're talking about a yearly game that goes back and forth as far as the home courts are concerned. Iowa has won in Ames. Iowa's, I believe, won 7 of the last 8 in this rivalry. But it's going to be... I'm very much looking forward to the women's game tomorrow night, and so many storylines to this one. Number one, is Iowa going to take care of the ball better than they did against Tennessee? I don't care who you're playing. You cannot turn the ball over 30 times and win. And Iowa did that against the Lady Vols, who looked very good in that particular ball game. So will the young guard court for Iowa step up a little bit? Will the big three for Iowa State, how will they do in a hostile environment with Addie Brown, Emily Ryan, and of course, Audie Crooks in the middle? And how is Iowa, is O'Grady going to be, they got to keep her out of foul trouble. Iowa's got some fouls to give in the interior, but Audie Crooks, it's one of the best centers in the country at this point. And she has been having just a terrific season. I can see her going off tomorrow night.
You hit on the two aspects that are key for me, and that's the, you know, 30 turnovers against Tennessee. That was incredible. And yet Iowa was in the game until the last few minutes. I kind of frittered away that game in the last few minutes. But, and then the defense on Audie Crooks, that's quite obvious. And Addie O'Grady's off to a really good start this year. You know, what kind of defense will Jan Jensen employ on Crooks? And You know, if it's overloaded in that direction, with Iowa State's other players step up, it's going to be an interesting matchup. And, you know, Iowa's, you know, got some experience. I think Ava Hyden behind Addie O'Grady is going to be a player someday. She's already shown flashes in the middle. They're going to need her tomorrow because I don't think O'Grady can go through a game and you know, continually guard Crooks. So it's going to be interesting. But the main theme for Jan Jensen today was respect. Respect not only for Iowa State coach Bill Finley, but she talked about she thought there was more respect than you would believe for the two fan bases. And it's only those, what Jensen said, the fringes that get the attention, the weird fans, she says.
Well, she's right. I mean, they make...
No, I don't think it's a mutual admiration society.
Oh, no. I was talking about the fans and the fringe. They're the crazy ones, and they kind of rule things as far as socials are concerned, and they get a lot of the clicks. And, yeah, maybe Jan is trying, and we can't speak for Jan, but I think she's trying to send out an olive branch a little bit. Listen, if you follow women's basketball, were Lisa Bluter and Bill Finley great friends? No. No, I know that absolutely for a fact. Did they have respect for each other's programs? Absolutely. But when you bang heads that many times every year on the court, every year off the court, as far as recruiting is concerned, they were going after the same people, whether it be the state of Iowa, a lot of people from the state of Minnesota, the Midwest, whatever the case may be. These are two programs that like to be regional for the most part. Iowa is extending the borders a little bit now due to the fact they went to the Final Four in the last couple of years. The Caitlin Clark effect, if you will, getting the California point guard, getting the gal from Alaska to come in. It's a little bit different for Iowa, but for years and years, Lisa Bluter and Bill Finley, they went after one another, and they did not want to lose to the other one.
Yeah, liking someone and respecting someone is two different things. Maybe they can coexist, I don't know, but there are people that don't necessarily like Don Staley or Kim Mulkey, but I think the same people respect them. Maybe not. I think the same is true with Iowa and Iowa State coaches. At least that's been the case in the past, as you described with Bluter and Finley. So is this going to be decided by the coaches? I don't know. I don't think so. It's going to be two great teams going at it, I think. Not great teams, but very good teams.
Now, this is not Brands and Dresser over the few years, right, Isaac? This is not wrestling.
However, I will say Dresser is usually very complimentary of Iowa.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
It's more on the Brand side. I'm not trying to say too much. Brands likes me, as we all know, but Dresser is he's usually very respectful towards Iowa. Granted, he hasn't won in a little bit, so maybe you can't talk that much if you're not winning against him.
Which one are you looking forward to more? 319-366-1600. The women's game or the men's game? 1776 on the text line weighing in. Despite the turnovers for Iowa, they could have won the game, like you said, Mark, if they kept the Tennessee guard out of the lane. That was a problem in that game in Brooklyn on Saturday evening. Cyclone Tim, you hit the nail on the head here. He says, how many times must you see good Iowa State men's teams come into Carver favored to win only to play terrible and see Iowa shoot 65% from three to win the game? I've seen it both ways over the years at Carver. Yes, there were a couple of games where Iowa just came out of nowhere, shot it well, and won. There was also several that Iowa State was not the favorite. They shot it well and won. Who can ever forget the kiss blown to, I guess, the Iowa crowd? It wouldn't be the students because there aren't very many students there. in the student section for Iowa. But that was back in the day. And Iowa's got to shoot it well from three, Mark. The men we're talking here, they're not going to beat them inside. Iowa's got to shoot probably 45 to 50% from three to win that game.
And it's a tired old yarn, but Freeman has to stay out of foul trouble. He got two fouls in the first couple, 3 minutes at Michigan and had to sit the whole first half. And, you know, he had some impact in the second half. And, you know, does Iowa have to shoot 65% from three? No, but they should probably shoot 40 to 45%. I just have a hard time believing the Iowa State guards won't prevail in this game.
Iowa last year, and we'll talk with Kevin Lehman coming up before the game on Thursday with our Off the Glass segment, but if you recall, that was the great Josh Dix point guard experiment that lasted about 3 minutes after he had the ball stolen the first, three out of four times he brought it up court by Taman Lipsey. So, and the grand text from 5740, LaFesta Rhodes, anyone? We think of LaFesta Rhodes every single year early in December, Mark, don't we? Both, whether you're on the Iowa side or the Iowa State side, LaFesta Rhodes will always have his name come up during this first week of December.
Yeah, that's a game that will live forever for Iowa State fans in particular, and maybe for Iowa fans. And LaFesta Rhodes went off in that game, and one of the more memorable moments for an individual in this series. And who's going to be this time? I don't know. Maybe there won't be anybody. But as far as tomorrow's game, you know, Jan Jensen is off to a great start. She's lost her first game. She spoke about the turnovers against Tennessee. And now she faces a team that has experience in the NCAA tournament. Her own team has experience in the NCAA tournament. I just think, you know, both teams being ranked in the top 25, I'm not surprised of the attention it's getting.
319-366-1600. Gene agrees with you. Fran's handling of guys in foul trouble has always frustrated me. Trust your players a little more. Doug in Iowa City says Harding is going to have great difficulty against Gilbert or Lipsey. Yeah, there are going to be some terrifying mismatches of Iowa trying to keep Keyshawn Gilbert out of the lane. And I think Thelwell, I think, has got to pick up that assignment, but he's going to be giving up 2 or 3 inches size-wise. I think he's the only guy that can stay with. But then you keep, if you're Iowa, you keep Taman Lipsey open. And he's going to try to get into the lane. He's still not a great outside shooter. It's just going to be a tough, tough matchup for the Hawkeyes. As far as the women are concerned, Cyclone Tim weighing in that they are struggling. Don't see the Cyclones winning the game, but Fenley will have them playing well come February and March. A lot of people would take what Iowa State has done on the women's side right now and, you know, not say it's struggling at this point, but losses at UNI. Listen, South Carolina, really good and was really angry that particular day that Iowa State ran into Dawn Staley and the Gamecocks and lost by 40. Hey, anybody would have lost on that particular day to South Carolina, Mark.
Yeah, that was a bad matchup, bad day, as you described. And South Carolina, you know, is going to be there in the end, much like Cyclone Jim believing Iowa State will be there in the end. Well, Iowa be there in the end. I don't know. It's a big-time task to maneuver your way through the Big Ten this year in women's basketball, and it's not so easy in the Big 12 either.
No, but the Big Ten went from – gosh, third or fourth to maybe the best women's basketball league in America now with the addition of USC and UCLA and Oregon. And for Iowa and for Iowa State to a certain extent as well, this is one of those resume stuffers that you need to do well in. If you can win this one, especially if you're Iowa at home, it's going to look good to the committee, especially if you finish 6th, 7th, 8th in the Big Ten. I think Iowa State's got a little better chance in the Big 12 than Iowa does in the Big Ten. That's the women's side. Men's side, I think it's the other way around. 319-366-1600 here on the Tuesday edition of the Gym Class. We're going to get to KJ Pilcher coming up in just a little bit, and we'll get you to an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update as well. But it's going to be fun. It's going to be a heck of a game, and really looking forward to it again. 7:30 tomorrow and 5:30 on Thursday. Spencer on Sports will be an abbreviated edition from 4 until 5:30 for the pregame. We'll actually join that. Since it is Iowa and Iowa State, we'll join up at 5:30 for that one. And that is a 6:30 tip-off at Carver Hawkeye Arena on Thursday night for Iowa and Iowa State on the men's side. All right, coming up on 3:26. Let's get it to Mark for an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update. It's brought to you by Emil's on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. They are right across from the Lindale Mall and next to the Home Depot. Online at emilshideaway.com. They've got a great menu, a wide variety of delicious dishes for you, plus a huge range of burgers and fries. They're made fresh daily, salads, pizza, pasta, soup, sandwiches, et cetera, et cetera. They've got online ordering with curbside pickup and delivery as well at Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast, right across from the Lindale Mall. Mark, what do we have?
Time Magazine has named Iowa's Caitlin Clark its Athlete of the Year. A terrific story accompanying that. You can read that online. I found it a terrific story there if anyone would like to take a look. Pro Football Focus has named Jay Higgins its top-rated linebacker in the nation this season in college football, according to Pro Football Focus's metrics. The 4A and 3A state baseball tournaments will return to Veterans Memorial Stadium in 2026 and begin a three-year run, 26, 27, and 28. The state tournaments were held here last year. It will be they will be in Sioux City next year for the 4A and 3A as the Colonels, the Cedar Rapids Colonels schedule has some conflicts with the state tournaments. So 4A and 3A state baseball returning in 2026. And just for you, Scott, Tiger Woods will pair with his son Charlie in the PNC Championship parent-child exhibition next week.
Not a big surprise. Now, they can use carts for this event. Keep that in mind. And Tiger will be using a cart. And how far into the first round on Friday will it be before Noda Begay or somebody says, oh, he's back. He's back. Looks as good as ever. Well, it'll probably be in the range on Tuesday. I kid.
I could comment on Scott Unesco's comments on Tiger Woods.
Tiger's not ready to come back to the PGA Tour yet and walk.
It's an exhibition. It's all in fun.
And he's doing it for Charlie.
I enjoy this event myself. I always root for the Dailies.
And they will be there.
Yes, they will.
And Nellie and Peter Korda will be there as well, among others. 319-366-1600, 3:28, and we're going to take a break, come back. We've got to talk some high school wrestling in general with KJ Pilcher of the Cedar Rapids Gazette. First chance to do that this year, and we'll talk with him when we return on a Tuesday edition right here on 1600 ESPN Eastern Iowa's home for sports.
Eastern Iowa weather from 1600 ESPN.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your Weather First forecast, and we'll have a mix of sun and clouds for the rest of the day with temperatures in the low 30s and a bit of a breeze making it feel cooler. Tonight, more clouds will be moving in and snow showers will be developing. We'll have some minor accumulation possible that could lead to some slick conditions during Wednesday morning's commute. Then, through the rest of the day Wednesday, temperatures will drop like a rock, the winds will pick up, it'll be feeling much colder, and we'll end up around zero by Thursday morning. That's your latest Iowa's News Now Weather First forecast.
Need a little boost? Nothing beats the rich, smooth taste of Quick Star's Kuruba coffee. Fresh, delicious, and always brewed just right. Now only 79 cents, any size, when you swipe your Quick Rewards card. Pair it with a fresh baked cookie or muffin from the bake sale and level up your day. Quality coffee at an unbeatable price. Stop by, grab a cup, and taste the difference. Only at Quick Star.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the Adult League,
but they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl off Williams Boulevard Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the Gym.
In Iowa, farming isn't just a profession, it's a purpose. You can feel it in our 29.9 million acres of farmland. You can see it in the nearly 72,000 Iowans who work in agriculture. You can hear it at our farmers markets. You can count it in the $159.5 billion it brings our state. And you can taste it at your family's dinner table. A lot of farmers in our state rely on Bayer's tools and inventions because Bayer has a purpose too. To help farmers thrive. Learn more at go.bayer.com/purpose. Paid for by Bayer.
Hey folks, when it comes to Christmas trees, don't get played by foreign plastic. Just like you wouldn't replace a prized QB with a mannequin. Don't replace American Farm Fresh trees with fake foreign plastic. These farm families are the MVPs of Christmas, growing champions right here on American soil. They're not sitting on the bench. They're out there every day growing real Christmas traditions. Make the winning choice, Farm Fresh Christmas trees, not foreign plastic that pollutes. Visit GetRealKeepItReal.com to find your local farm MVP.
Old Spice Swagger Holiday Pack, perfect for a gift to treat yourself. 24/7 holiday freshness with daily use can smell your bestest. I'm gonna be smelling great all season. Old Spice scents just can't be beaten. Chock full of value, saving that green. Got the essentials needed to feel clean. Deodorant, hair, body wash, and spray. Celebrate your holiday the Old Spice way.
Ho, 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 ho.
3:31 on a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class right here on 1600 ESPN. Spencer on Sports comes your way next from 4 until 6. And then we have college basketball for you coming up this evening. It'll be the Jimmy V Classic. And always a very emotional evening in the world of men's college basketball. We've got Tennessee, number one Tennessee, taking on the Miami Hurricanes in game number one. We will join that game probably about midway through the first half at 6 o'clock. They will have their tribute to Jimmy V then between games. And the nightcap will feature the Michigan Wolverines, the 14th-rated Wolverines at 8-1 against John Calipari and the Arkansas Razorbacks. So that is the Jimmy V Classic. And we'll have that for you coming up tonight right here from Madison Square Garden on 1600 ESPN. Mark had a chance last day. They always play the survive in advance, 30 for 30. Watched that last night. Always a very inspirational one with the late, great Jim Valvano. And going over that 83 North Carolina State run to the national championship.
Yeah, it was a great story, and the foundation has done so much great work in raising money. And we all know about Dickie V's struggle with cancer right now. I know that's still ongoing for him. So, yeah, it'll be a couple good games and a good cause.
Yeah, always a good cause at Madison Square Garden. Another great gentleman joining us right now. And that is K.J. Pilcher of the Cedar Rapids Gazette, who he's the best as far as wrestling coverage is concerned. No offense, Isaac, by the way. No offense to you.
That's fine. I'll take second best.
Okay. read his stuff online with the Cedar Rapids Gazette. And K.J., thanks for helping out. Appreciate it, buddy.
Hey, no problem. Isaac, I would take offense to that, by the way. Don't let them talk to you like that, Isaac.
Well, I mean, I can't match up with you quite yet, KJ. I got a couple more years before I get up to that level, I think.
I'm sure you're running circles around me already, but I do my best, so that's all you can ask for, hey, right?
I got to ask you guys a question. Somebody in the text line, we were talking about Iowa State earlier on, and, you know, Brands and Dresser, you know, kind of go at it at times. Wrestling coaches do that. They tend to be high strung a little bit. One of our texters said, Brands doesn't like anybody. Brands likes both of you guys.
I think Brands likes both of us. Yeah.
I don't think so. But
as much as you can like any media member, I think he likes both of us.
No, I think you guys were talking about it earlier when I was listening. You know, there's a fine line between respect and like, right?
Right.
And I have actually seen Kevin Dresser and Tom Brands talk cordially in the tunnels at the NCAA tournament. I think there's a line of respect. You know, there are certainly coaches and wrestlers, you know, I've seen him give props, kind of interrupt his own interviews and give props to other wrestlers, like an Isaiah Martinez who wrestled in Illinois, which comes to mind, and stuff like that. So, you know, Tom can be surly, but I think there's a line there where between liking and respect between coaches, and I think you see that a lot. You know, not just in Iowa. I think it, you know, just wrestling coaches in general, there are a lot that respect each other. But when it comes to chasing after the same, you know, everybody's chasing after the same carrot, you know, team championship and dual wins and all that kind of stuff. You know, kind of the niceness and liking one another gets thrown out the door during competition, but.
KJ, I like and respect you, and I also like Brad Smith. That brought a smile to my face when I read that he was going to take over on an interim basis at Clear Creek Amana. My goodness, he was coaching when I was covering wrestling.
Very true, and I think this is, you know, it's such a special situation, you know, and you know, Brad, certainly so many years that he, you know, we're getting close to 50 years since he first took over the Lisbon program from Al Baxter.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's saying something, and it still relates, that, you know, and the fact that Kyle Fornes, the head coach at Clear Creek Amana, who's missing this season to fulfill obligations with the Army Reserves. He was an assistant under Brad Smith, obviously wrestled against some of Brad Smith's athletes when he was in high school, but was in a city high assistant and the one person, because they've made such progress at Clear Creek Amana, and they have an excellent team to like, 11 or 13 wrestlers in the state last year, made the regional duels. He didn't want to see that progress slip back. So, you know, he kind of went to Brad Smith and said, hey, what are you doing? When he first found out about his obligations that he was going to have to fulfill. And, you know, they both kind of laughed about it. And then they were at the Clyde Bean duels, which is now named the Bean Smith duels. Brad Smith now shares the name of that tournament at City High in January, and Clear Creek wrestles in it. And Fornes approached him and said, "Hey, I'm still looking for somebody." And they kind of laughed again. And then I think Brad thought about it a little bit more and went to his wife, Connie, who has been by his side this whole time, one of his greatest supporters, and said, what do you think? And she's like, hey, it's a great, great reason to get back into it for a year. Go do it. And he reached out to Kyle, said, hey, you find anybody yet? Nope. I'll do it. So it started out as tongue-in-cheek and became a reality. And the funniest part was, Brad Smith has lunch once a month in Iowa City with a bunch of former wrestling coaches and wrestlers, including Dan Gable, his coach at the University of Iowa, and a lot of well-known wrestling faces in Eastern Iowa that included Chuck Yeagle at one time. And he told them, hey, I'm doing this. And they're like, what are you, nuts? You know, because he's well into retirement now. And, you know, but they were really supportive. And, you know, he's got a good group. I know they're battling some injuries right now. But, you know, they had a decent showing up at big tournament Independence this last weekend. They got big duel with Mount Vernon on Thursday. So that's two of the top WOMAC teams. So kind of cool that he's back into it. And one last thing is Cale Nash, three-time state qualifier, one of the returning medalists from last year's team. You know, talk to him about, hey, you know, did you know him? Yeah, you know, we know some of the Lisbon guys. We knew all of him. You know, what has he kind of brought to the table? And he goes, you know, at first I think I'm kind of stubborn because I just know a lot about wrestling. I feel, oh, what is he going to do? I already see some of these guys, you know, coaches in club that have advanced my wrestling. And he goes, it took one time when he came over to me and start breaking down the intricacies of certain things, just really minor things like kind of getting wrist control and cutting off and turning the corner on a takedown. And he goes, it just opened my eyes to realize, oh my God, this guy's got so much knowledge. And he goes, like, it's already made me a better wrestler. So, you know, you talk about an old dog and new tricks, but I tell you what, he's got all of them still and can make a difference. So it's kind of a neat deal.
Yeah, it is. And you mentioned Independence. That's where you were on Saturday. I don't know if there's a better Saturday of tournaments than this first one. I mean, you could go probably four or five different places and see great wrestling. But Independence has grown to over 30 teams now up there. And it's a heck of a tournament. And especially when you put in, you know, the people coming from out of state to go there and wrestle. It's like Christian Brothers and people like that. It's a heck of a Saturday.
Yeah, Fenimore out of Wisconsin, you know, and that's been the case, you know, for decades. That first weekend where you've had the Keith Young Invitational, which is still going strong. You know, you've had the Indy Tournament, which I remember covering it when it was just an eight-team event in their old gym. You've got the West Delaware Tournament, now the Bob Murphy Invitational. You know, those have always been staples that first weekend. And my late colleague Wyatt Schultz, there have been times where we would cover a tournament at Indy in West Delaware in the morning and then drive to Cedar Falls for the finals of the Keith Young all in the same day. So, yeah, it's been phenomenal. And then you throw in the Dane Gable Donnybrook, which – you know, the field there is absolutely fantastic, both on the girl side and the boy side. You know, just great competition to really get things going here in the season. And what a great gauge for the wrestlers of all levels to be able to come in that first weekend and butt heads and get a handful of matches against top tier competition. And you saw that, you know, Al Burnett coming away with a victory over Carlisle in the team race at Independence. Al Burnett's one of those teams to contender with in Class 1A, and of course with Don Bosco, who was third in that huge tournament at Extreme Arena, the Donnybrook. So I think Al Burnett really kind of showed its prowess. Had three in the finals. Of course, they went 0-3, but they're wrestling. I mean, that was a tournament that had seven top-ranked wrestlers in it. I think there were two number one versus number two wrestlers in the finals. Of course, Al Burnett was in one of those with Rowdy Neighbor at 126. And then you had Preston Klosterman, who was a runner-up at 144, who was – that was a one versus three matchup at 144. And there are two one versus three matchups in the finals. And you had, a rematch of the state finals last year at 120, where Braden Bonesack of Union was a runner up to it. I'll have to apologize to Clearing Gofield Dow's wrestler. I just have to spell it correctly. I would butcher the name, so I'm not going to attempt it. But he was able to get a takedown in the final seconds. I mean, literally, as the last second ticked off, he got a takedown to win 4-3 over Bonesack and avenge the loss in last year's final. So, you know, that was just indicative of the competition all the way through there at Indy. And, you know, Cedar Rapids Prairie, Cedar Rapids Xavier each had a champ up there. Dylan Munson was dominant all the way through. He won at 113 pounds. And then John Goma of Xavier winning the 215-pound title. You know, he was somebody who really broke through last year, had gone from like 170 to 215, became a state medalist. Now he's in his second year, and you can just kind of see the physical maturity and the confidence for him as well. And he had a nice 5-3 win in the finals over Lucas Feuerbach of Solon. But, you know, that's a heck of a tournament up there. And Albernett really kind of flexed its muscle, its depth with what they have. And, of course, they have a biggie tonight against Wilton. You know, in Class 1A, you're looking at Don Bosco. You're looking at Albernett kind of being the top two teams. Osage has dropped down to 1A now, so they're in the mix. And then Wilton, who was kind of that third team last year, I tell you what, it's going to be a dogfight with those four teams throughout the season. So, you know, Albernett, Russell, Clear Creek last week. You got Indy. You've got Wilton. So Clayton Rush really kind of putting the feet to the fire a little bit for that team and wanting to see where they stand and where they need to improve throughout the season. And then, you know, just go a little further up north and you've got Jessup that's really broken out last year, had a great season and kind of becoming a wrestling school. So it will be really fun competition with Class 1A. And as you mentioned, Don Bosco, you know, third at that big tournament, had three champions, and including all Schwab final, even though they didn't wrestle it. Two of Doug Schwab's sons, Hendrick and Hayden, finishing in the top two spots at 113 there at the Dan Gable Donnybrook.
So many good stories across the area, KJ, as you know, and we can't get to them all in week one. We did have a question or two about the local side of things, and you mentioned the Prairie and Xavier individuals. It looks like Linmar, under new coaches, is probably the top Metro team. What about the Metro team and individuals?
Yeah, you know, you mentioned Linmar. They were down at the Donnybrook, too. They had a decent showing. You know, at first look, you're like 15th, but when you consider the depth and the teams that are there, it was pretty solid. Philip Jacobs, a runner-up, and Barrett Miras finished third at the same weight at 175 for the Lions. But that's a team, you know, you've got two outstanding coaches in Ryan Gatto and Bo Westfall that have been part of the program for years under Doug Stryker. And don't be fooled, Doug Stryker's still involved. you know, he may not be doing the administrative stuff anymore. He may not be doing all those kind of headache-inducing activities, but he's working with the middle school kids. He's working with the club. He's, you know, he's going to be popping into practice and helping out. But right now, you know, the baton's been passed on to Westfall and Gatto, and, you know, it's just going to continue the way they are. I think they're the highest-ranked dual team right now. You know, they've got some outstanding individuals. We mentioned Philip Jacobs and Miras, Malik DeBow, who's a lightweight that's looking to become a four-time state medalist as well. You know, they always seem to be a team that reloads because they have that depth and they're going to put out a competitive kid at each weight. So right now they seem to be head and shoulders probably above the rest of the teams. Then you're looking at, you know, maybe Xavier. Xavier returns quite a bit. They had a good showing. They finished ahead of Prairie at the Independence Tournament. They suffered an opening dual loss to Western Dubuque, who I think is going to be pretty good. They finished fourth at the Keith Young
and had a champion up there in freshman Macklin Penner, the son of Western Dubuque football coach Justin Penner. He's a stud for the Bobcats, but you know, they have a couple open weights due to injury. Xavier does, but they're going to be right there, I think, when you're talking about Metro teams, maybe just a little bit below Linmar. And then, of course, you know, Prairie's always going to have a competitive team. We'll see what Kennedy has coming through. And I think Jefferson's had some kind of a little bit of an interesting start. And they had a place winner up at Keith Young and heavyweight Anthony Snowdy as well. So I think that's kind of how the Metro shakes out. Then you look at Iowa City West, you know, as far as the big schools, they've got the most points returning from state, especially in the state champion Alex Pierce. They have a Montana state champion that transferred in Cole Crutzfeldt. That's going to help. You've got Justin Avila, a two-time medalist. So Iowa City West is going to be a strong team going forward. And, of course, you know, they kind of had they finished a couple spots ahead of Linmar at the Dan Gable Donnybrook.
KJ, before we let you go here, how about 2A? We talked 1A a little bit, 3A. It's going to be a lot of the Central Iowa teams. Southeast Polk is loaded.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Loaded, folks.
Yeah. 2A,
what about
their head unless they...
Yeah. Yeah. What about 2A?
2A, I think you're looking at a hodgepodge of teams that really could do well. And you might have a team, you know, I think this is going to be extremely hard for a team to sweep, right? But Mount Vernon is a team that's absolutely loaded. You know, you're bringing back some studs like Jace Jaspers, Mikey Ryan. You look at heavyweight Ethan Wood, who I believe is ranked number one right out of the gate. And you've got Union. Union's, I think, returned 75 out of their 100 points from last year's team. So that's a team. You know, you've got hammers like Jace Hedeman, who was a champ at Independence this last weekend. Brayden Bonesack's also a two-time state champ, like Hedeman. You know, you've got Coy Mailer, who won a title at Independence as a sophomore. But, boy, is he tough for the son of Bart Mailer, the coach there. But you're looking at those two teams. And Amosa. They've got some really strong wrestlers, a couple of top-ranked kids here out of the gate, especially state champion Austin Stratton. West Delaware is going to be balanced, and that's going to be interesting with, you know, the torch being passed to Jake Voss, taking over for his dad, Jeff Voss, there. So you've got a handful of teams, especially in Eastern Iowa, that can do a lot of damage, do well both in tournaments and in duels. And I just want to make one more mention, too. We talked about these 2A the strength in class 2A. At West Delaware this weekend, the 190-pound bracket had Brendan Hain of Benton Community, Austin Stratton of Anamosa, Brent Yakovic of West Delaware in the 190-pound bracket. Yakovic's ranked number two at 175. He finished third last year, lost in the semis to Stratton, who went on to win the state title, was ranked number one at 190. And then Hain from Benton, a two-time medalist, is ranked number two. At 190 behind Stratton, Brendan Hain ends up beating both Yankovic and Stratton four by the score of 4-2 in the semis and then in the finals to win that heck of a bracket right there to open the first week for those guys. But Brendan Hain with a great performance there as well.
Yeah, and good stuff last weekend, good stuff this weekend. Some big tournaments coming up. Mount Vernon's going to have their tournament. I know Nashua Plainfield has theirs. Johnston is going to have a big one. Springville, Western Dubuque's going to have their tournament this week. So
their duels, and then the Council Bluffs.
The biggie.
Classic. That's a two-day tournament out there in Western Iowa. Iowa City West goes there. So, yeah, you know, this is this is kind of one of those sneaky good weekends in between that first weekend of the tournaments we mentioned and then the Battle of Waterloo next weekend, which is, you know, which will be huge as well. But I'll be, I think I'm going to be renting some real estate out in Mount Vernon. I'm going to be there Thursday for the duel with Clear Creek, and then I'll head back out to Mount Vernon Saturday for their tournament. So maybe I can get Dave Ryan to float me alone to maybe get a second house out there during wrestling season.
Well, just tell him, you know, he's you're another one of his sons. And, you know, you just mix right in.
I know, right? Might be able to do that with the nine kids. And, of course, you know, we talk about how great that family has been to Mount Vernon. And this is their last son. Mikey's their last son kind of coming through. But the next generation will be coming up quick. So I'm sure you'll see them, you know, in the boys and girls wrestling program here, the next generation coming through. But he's been a great supporter at Mount Vernon in all sports, but especially wrestling.
Yep, has. And as 8582 mentions, Williamsburg knocked off Mount Vernon. So yeah, yes. Don't forget about the Raiders.
And the Raiders, Grant Eckenrod, that's another one of those teams year in and year out. You know, and they had a great, they went 5-0 in their dual tournament, beat Assumption in the final round. But that's another one. Great. Grant Eckenrod is one of the absolute best coaches. And he gets the most out of every guy in a singlet that comes into his room. And, you know, I have no, that WOMAC is just loaded. The WOMAC is loaded with teams in Williamsburg year in and year out as a contender under Grant Eckenrod.
All right. KJ, great job. We'll look forward to talking with you next Tuesday. And have fun in Mount Vernon, man.
Sounds good. I will. Thank you guys very much. Appreciate all you do.
All right. Thank you. Keep up with what KJ is writing at the Gazette online. We'll take a quick break, come back, and wrap things up after this.
Life's better when you're under our roof because our agents can help you choose insurance to help protect what matters most. Life insurance from American Family Life Insurance Company can help financially protect your loved ones by replacing a portion of your income if you were to pass away. That means your family could have the help they need to continue to pursue their dreams.
Contact Kurt Gustafson or Lana Pierce at 319-363-7214.
Products not available in all states. American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
American Family Insurance.
CP Hoyt Jewelers holiday sale is on.
We're Joseph and Clayton Hoyt.
CP Hoyt Jewelers has great savings all month long.
Spend $500 to $1,500 and receive diamond studs or a $100 Nelson's Meat Market gift card.
Spend $1,500 to $3,499 and receive 1 carat lab-grown studs or your choice of G-Shock watch. Spend $3,500 or more and receive 2 carat lab-grown diamond studs or 1 carat lab-grown tennis bracelet.
Save at CP Hoyt Jewelers.
Corner of Collins Road and First Ave.
Where Cedar Rapids gets engaged.
Back with you to wrap things up. Don't forget, tomorrow morning at 7:30 will be the winning announcement for the year-end bonus contest. And again, today's winning word is cash. Cash. So, again, go to KGYMradio.com. One final chance you'll have with Spencer on Sports coming up between 4 o'clock and 6 o'clock. Again, the winning word, cash. Go to KGYMradio.com for your chance to win $500, and you also go into the national drawing for the $15,000 grand prize. So thanks to everybody that listened and entered. Best of luck to you. I know not everyone is going to win, but, hey, you got a shot. It's better than the lottery. Right, Mark?
Far better.
Maybe not as lucrative, but it's a far better odds to win with us. We love the lottery, though. Coming up tomorrow, Mark Ironside will join us. Kevin Payne, if you are still alive in your fantasy football playoffs, get those questions ready to go for Kevin. He will join us from rotowire.com, courtesy of Imon Communications. That will be coming up tomorrow right here on the Gym Class program. And yes, Greg in Epworth, he watches the Jimmy V speech each and every year. Best speech I've ever seen. Jimmy V was a terrific, terrific speaker, which was shown in that 30 for 30. Have a great night, Mark. We'll talk tomorrow.
You got it. Talk then.
It's been the Gym Class, KGYM.
Some people just know they could save hundreds on car insurance by checking Allstate first. Like you know to check the propane tank on your grill first before.